He may be fat and bald, but he knows his sports. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
All the good girls go to hell, 'cause even God herself.
Welcome to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. As always, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvmn.org, or on the Twitters at IanLaird3. Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. With countless TVs and specials, catch all the big games, including the World Series, college football, and of course, the Detroit Lions. Located at 15 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgating continues. Lots to talk about this week. Lots going on in the last couple weeks. Some big games coming up, a huge game coming up tomorrow. We'll take a look at the Hawks game Friday night against a very, very tough Billings West team. We'll also take a look at some high school playoffs as they start up here last week and continuing on into this weekend. We'll take a first look at the Cats men's and women's basketball teams and how they're expected to fare throughout this next year in Big Sky play. And also, Bobcats hit the road after a week off after a tough loss to Sacramento State, who, surprise, surprise, all you naysayers out there, Sacramento State's a pretty good team, but we'll get into that here in a little bit as well. But first, as always, we'll take a quick look at national news. We'll start in baseball with the World Series. Astros take a 2-0 lead after dismantling Nationals take a 2-0 lead after dismantling the Astros 12-3 in game 2 last night, scoring 6 of the runs of those runs in the 7th inning. 55 teams have taken a 2-0 advantage in the World Series, and of those, 44 of them have won it all. So it's going to be a very, very tough uphill climb for the Astros. But speaking of uphill and climbing and idiots, the biggest story to come out of Houston in the last week or so were the comments made by the assistant general manager, Brandon Taubman, directed at female reporters. The Sports Illustrated report had described a verbal encounter which occurred after Game 6 of the American League Championship Series that ended just last Saturday. Three female reporters were heard Taubman shouting, "Thank God we got Ozuna. I am so bleeping glad we got Ozuna," after referring to Roberto Ozuna's rocky appearance in Game 5. SI reported that Taubman turned to the reporters when he yelled this comment. Three female reporters. The Astros traded for Ozuna in 2018 while he was serving a 75-game suspension under Major League Baseball domestic violence policy. Houston faces criticism from fans, members, and the media and women's groups in the wake of the move. And again this week, when the franchise initially issued a statement accusing Sports Illustrated of fabricating the story. So basically, to break it down, they started by saying that the Sports Illustrated report was completely fabricated. It was made up. It never even happened. None of this was going on. Then, because there's always people around, three different women came forward, plus other eyewitnesses that came forward and said, yes, this did happen. It did happen. We heard it happen. He was standing there. There was no players around. It was just media people and I guess GMs and office people for the Astros as they were celebrating the win. When they came forward, then, of course, the Astros came back and said, sorry, not sorry, kind of a apology, said they were sorry if it offended anyone. If those words offended anyone, they were sorry. Well, they did offend anyone, and they would have offended anyone. So don't say if they did. They did. So just say sorry, but they couldn't do that. Then, of course, the assistant GM comes out this past Saturday during a clubhouse, or they came out to the clubhouse celebration, inappropriate language, which deeply and sorry, and I'm embarrassed. So he came out and he just said, hey, I know the story came out. It was in the clubhouse. It was during a celebration. He said, in retrospect, I realized that my comments were unprofessional and inappropriate. My overexuberance in support of a player has been misinterpreted as a demonstration or a grievance attitude about an important social issue. Yeah, you think? Maybe it was because you yelled it at three women. One of them was wearing a domestic violence bracelet. You knew exactly what you were doing. He knew what he was doing. This wasn't, oh, I accidentally did it. Why was he exuberantly shouting about Osuna. Osuna just blew a lead for the Astros and then had to come back in the bottom of the ninth even to win the game. So for you to yell, thank God we traded for him at these women after he almost lost you the game is ridiculous. Going into the MLB playoffs, I was rooting for Houston. They're kind of the good luck story. I've never been a Yankees fan. I don't know really anything about the Nationals. I don't have anything against them. But I kind of like the way Houston played and everything else. Now I am 100% Nationals going forward. It's a disgrace that this happened. The fact that he is still on the staff, I think, at this point, is also disgraceful. How they have not suspended him or fired him already, they're going to have to. He was up for some big-time jobs coming up, too. The Boston Red Sox were looking at him from GM. He is extradited from any of that, and he should be. He shouldn't be in any of these clubhouses. Go back to trading or doing whatever you did in the past. But it's a terrible look for MLB. MLB has come out, and they basically haven't done anything either. They said, well, we'll look into it. We'll do it as fast as we can, but it might not be till after the series and blah, 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 blah. You know what happened. There's no way that you can say that that wasn't what the intent was. Even the GM of the Astros came out and said, we don't know for sure what his intent was, and we may never know. Yeah, you will know. Talk to him about it and see what he says. Talk to these reporters and then listen to them. But for them to blast reporters as fabricating a story when you had three or four eyewitnesses right there is ridiculous. Good luck to the Nationals. I hope the Astros lose the next two, and we can move on to hopefully getting that whole situation resolved and not seeing him in baseball anymore. Moving on to the NFL news, Detroit Lions dropped their third straight game this week, this time to the Minnesota Vikings, 42-30. Congratulations, Margo, on that one. Matt Stafford went 30 for 45 for 364 yards and four touchdowns. He also had one interception, so we know it isn't the offense that is struggling. The Lions then traded one of their top secondary players to the Eagles, to the Seahawks. Weird. The Lions now 2-3-1, started the season 2-0-1, so lost the last three. Will face the Giants at home Sunday morning. Kickoff is set for 11 o'clock. Lions will be favored in their next three games before taking on the Cowboys. I think they play the Giants, then they play the Raiders, and I believe it's then the Bears. They should be favored in all three of those going into the Cowboys game, so hopefully they can pick it back up, get above the 500 mark. They're two calls away from being, 4-1-1, whatever it would be. So it's not like they're a terrible team. It's just, you know, they've had some bad breaks and everything else, and their defense really needs to step it up. Matt Patricia, their head coach, is supposed to be a defensive guru. He was Belichick's defensive coordinator and everything else, but he hasn't brought any of that defense over so far. Matt Stafford is doing everything he can. He's getting paid enough to do it, but so far that hasn't really helped. In other NFL news, Adam Schefter is reporting that Tom Brady has put his house and his personal quote-unquote doctor house up for sale as well. I do that in air quotes because he's not really a doctor, which leads everyone to start speculating, and both those houses are in the Boston area. Is he going to leave after this year? Rob Gronkowski retired at the end of last year, towards the beginning of this year. Brady has a clause in his contract. He signed an extension earlier this year that goes till 2022, I believe, but the 2020 and 21 seasons can be voided on that contract. So next year's year and the year after can be voided if he wants to at any time. It's the language in the contract. And with him selling his houses, he hasn't come out and said, no, I'm not leaving. He said, you know what? The time's right. A lot of people are speculating that he might retire, and that's kind of what this means. A lot of other people are saying, well, no, you know, maybe he'll go on and prove himself on a different team. Maybe he ends up going to the Cowboys or something like that. Maybe my Lions. Who knows? Kind of to stick it to Belichick and everybody else. I don't see him doing that. I think he's a loyal enough guy to the Patriots that he's not going to play for somebody else. I don't like seeing these older quarterbacks go and end up not doing so well on their next teams. I know Peyton Manning had one kind of good year, half good year, when he moved on to the Broncos. But you look at Joe Montana when he played for Kansas City, it's just not the same as seeing them in that same jersey. Seeing them in a different jersey is weird. Brett Favre hopped all over the place, so that wasn't such a big deal because you knew he was going to move around. But it is a little weird, like seeing Marino play in a Raiders jersey. It just wouldn't look right. He's a Dolphin and all that. So I think it means that he might look at retiring, or he might say he's going to retire and then Belichick retires or whatever, and then he comes back with Gronkowski, because Rob Gronkowski's already said that he might come back too. So very interesting. We'll have to take a look at that. Tom Brady never one to let what he thinks or any of that out into the public. He's always a very quiet guy. Well, maybe we'll text Dane Fletcher and see what he says about it, since they're buddies. We will take a quick break right now and come back with a final, I guess, look at the final week of some football and of the other stuff like that in high school sports. And a lot of the fall sports are now into the playoffs, so we'll take a look at those as well that went on last week and going on this one. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org, or Ian Laird 3 on the Twitters. Like to remind everyone to tune in Friday night for the final home game in the season for the Bozeman High Football Hawks. You can listen to it right here on KGVM this Friday night, as the Hawks will host Billings West Bears. Kickoff scheduled for 7 o'clock with our broadcast starting at 6:45. Bozeman Hawks football, as always, is brought to you by the Ridge Athletic Club, Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, and the Liquor Spot. Once again, we'll take a quick break. This is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be bad at sports, but he loves talking about them. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534. KGVM.org or IanLaird3 on the Twitters. Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, with countless TVs and specials. Catch all the big games, including the World Series, college football, and of course, like I always say, the Detroit Lions. Also, PGA events coming up, with Tiger Woods, I believe, leading after two rounds today. Located at 19 Ty Lane, up by the MSU campus. Phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgating continues. So we'll move on to high school sports now. We're going to start off with ladies soccer. We'll start here in Bozeman. We'll get to the big game coming up here shortly between Bozeman High and Billings West. But first, ladies soccer news from Bozeman. In the first round of the AA playoffs, the East number 2 seed Hawks, 10-1-3 on the year, scored early and held on throughout to steal a 2-0 victory Tuesday against the Broncos, the East number 7 seed, with an Addie Ekstrom goal in the 78th minute to advance the Class AA quarterfinals this Saturday. So this week, the Hawks will take on Helena High at 1 o'clock in the quarterfinals. Boys soccer will also take on Helena High as well the same day. The game is in Bozeman at 3:30 on Friday. So a lot of great sports coming up here this weekend in Bozeman. So you've got the soccer coming up Friday at about 1 till roughly about, what would you say, that would end about 5:30, 6 o'clock. Then right after that, you have the huge game between Bozeman High and Billings West in Bozeman as well. So a lot of great sports going on. If you have a chance to take the afternoon off here in Bozeman, or if you don't have a job, just go watch it. 1:30 or 1 o'clock is when it starts over at Bozeman High School. You can catch two great soccer games, plus then the big football game that night. Cross country, the Hawk boys won 11 straight titles entering this season. Their dynasty had been built on cultivated, without a drop-off. Every year they seemed like they got better and better and better. But to start this season, varsity's first race, Bozeman came in second behind Missoula Hellgate. For the first time, an in-state team beat the Hawk boys in a race since 2012. So that's a long, long run for the Hawks. For the remainder of the season, though, of course, Bozeman finished as the top team in Montana. Hawk girls, who won 10 consecutive titles before last season, says the Bozeman Daily Chronicle, have won every race they've completed in this year. Both teams enter Saturday's Class A meet at Eagles Golf Course in Great Falls among the favorites, so good luck to cross country as they wrap up their season this weekend. Should be a great one up there in Great Falls, hopefully not too windy. We had some major wind come through last week while they were trying to play soccer and everything else. You saw tumbleweeds blowing across, so it can definitely have an issue. Moving on to football again, we have mentioned the Hawks last week off. And have a huge game this Friday night against Billings West as they come to town. Billings West is the number two team in the state and comes in at 7-0 on the year. Bozeman is ranked not too bad at number four in the state, but this game has huge implications when it comes to standings in the playoffs, the following week and everything else. So this is by far the biggest test for the Hawks so far this year. Billings West comes into, with one of the top QBs in the state in senior Josh Urbacher, averaging 269 yards passing a game. He has 18 touchdowns and no interceptions. That is a huge stat. Not often do you see a high school kid throw at 18 touchdowns with not one interception. West averages 145 yards on the ground as well in the rushing game. A leading receiver, everyone knows the last name, but Connor Ryan. The Ryans have been around forever. He's averaging over 100 yards a game in receiving. He's one of the top wide receiver recruits in the state. I believe he's going to go to University of Montana, but hopefully the Cats can steal him. So, with all that said, a lot of times we go into the Bobcat game, and we'll hear in a little bit, what do the Cats have to do to win? So what do the Hawks have to do now to beat Billings West? It should be a very, very good contest. The Hawks come in with only one loss. That was to Missoula Big Sky, kind of a fluke one in the rain and the muck and the grossness. So they've avenged that by streaking off to win all the rest of their games. So what do they have to do this week to beat Billings West? So number one, I think you got to pressure their quarterback. Idens and company up front have to be able to get to the quarterback and hurry him to slow down their passing game and to, again, take possessions away from them, not give them first downs. But if he has time to sit back there, Ryan's going to burn you deep. There's not many defenders that can that cover him. So they've got to be able to get pressure, make him think quick, make him pass the ball before he wants to. He is a decent scrambler and runner, is Urbacher. But I think it's somebody that the Hawks can contain, and if they can get some pressure, can really throw off his game. Number two, stay in the game as defensive backs every single play. West is known for their big play ability. They did it against Belgrade last week, which we'll talk about here in a second. They have the ability to score on any given play with the deep ball DBs and primarily Carter Ash, who I'm guessing, I haven't talked to Coach Weshey at all, but I'm guessing that he will be the one that is stuck on Ryan all game. Carter Ash has, I think, 5 or 6 interceptions on the year, maybe even 7 interceptions on the year. He's doing a great job as a defensive back, but he's going to have to stay in it every single play and every down. Because if you don't give A-plus effort every single time, they'll find a way to burn you on that 1 or 2 plays. Number three, offense needs to grind it out. Slow the game down. Hawks don't seem to have much of a passing game with DeAugustino. He's had flashes and everything else, but it's not what they need to rely on, and they haven't had to rely on it with Asher Croy back there, the Huntley Project transfer back there at running back. He's ripped it up. He's got over 1,000 yards this year. I think he's only got 1 or 2 fumbles, so he's been doing great, but they've got to continue with that. DeAugustino can run as well, but they need to capitalize on drives, and that'll be the key. Get those first downs. Don't turn the ball over. We'll talk about that here in a second, but capitalize on those. If you get inside the 35, 30, even 25, you've got to be able to put points on the board when you get down that far. And that's something your running game can do. It also eats up the clock and limits the amount of possessions that Billings West can get. And lastly, I think no turnovers. And normally we say win the turnover battle, but I mean they cannot turn the ball over even once. You can't give the Bears another offensive opportunity and give them any kind of leverage. It started off the year a little shaky that way. There were some bad passes by DeAugustino that got picked off. Again, it was really muddy and rainy, and some of those might not have been his fault. There were some drops as well or in between. They've had some bad snaps, but those kind of plays cannot happen. You cannot turn the ball over against Billings West and expect to come out of there with any kind of momentum or be able to win that game. So that's a huge game. Once a game, it is set for kickoff at 7 o'clock at the new Van Winkle Stadium. We will have it right here on KGVM with our pregame starting at 6:45. So make sure you check that out Friday night. If you can't go to the game, or even if you are the game, bring a Walkman with you and just listen to me ramble on incoherently in the background as you watch a very, very good game. Moving on to Belgrade, we'll start with football there. Belgrade faces the juggernaut of Billings West last week in Billings and did not fare too well, falling 56-0. West Connor Ryan, like we talked about, returned the opening kickoff for 86-yard touchdown. DeMarcus Carr, scored on a 2-yard run midway through the first quarter. Then Josh Urbacher hit Ryan for a 45-yard touchdown pass to make it 21-0. Carr's second touchdown run from a yard out gave West a 28-0 lead before the end of the first quarter. And from there, they just rolled on. So if they stack up points like that, it's going to be a long, long year. This week, the Panthers 0-7. On the year, will play their last regular season game in their first season at AA. They will face Billings Skyview for their senior night over in Belgrade. So good luck to the Panthers. Hopefully they get their first win. I think they're going to. I don't think Skyview's that great of a team. So hopefully Belgrade can get some of those injured players back. They've really been missing them. It's their first year. They've struggled a lot, but for them to get a win on senior night would be huge for the program, huge for their seniors to not walk away from that first AA year at 0-8 before the playoffs and everything else would be good. So hopefully they can get that first win. We'll all be rooting for them here. Moving on to ladies soccer, West, who's 7-3-3, the number 3 seed in the Eastern AA, scored on the 5th minute and then withstood plenty of offensive chances from the Belgrade Panthers in a 1-0 victory. Sophia Severstin scored the lone goal after knocking in a short off the left post from inside the box. Belgrade was the number 6 seed and finished their first AA play at 2-8-3. So congratulations to the Lady Panthers soccer. They did win a couple. They tied a couple. More losses, I think, than they would like. But again, it's their first year. They got a couple wins under their belts and everything else. So next year should be smoother sailing. So good luck to them in the future. In boys soccer, finished about the same. Belgrade's first season at Class AA finished on Tuesday with a Eastern number 2 seeds Billings Senior defeating number 7 Panthers 7-1 in the first round of the state playoffs in Billings. Again, Belgrade boys went into the game 0-8 on the year. So hopefully good luck to both the Belgrade soccer teams next year. Again, I just said it 30 seconds ago. It's going to be tough for them coming up the next couple of years, but with Bozeman splitting, I think the 3 teams here might all be down the next couple of years, but that'll be good for the rivalry and kind of knocking them back and forth. One thing they're not bad at is cross country. With a strong push in the final mile, Sam Nash moved into the top 3. From there, the Belgrade sophomore held on to place 3rd Thursday afternoon at the Bozeman Triangular. It was the first top 5 finish for the season for Nash, and it couldn't have come at a better time as the Class AA meet looms this weekend in Gray Falls. Belgrade placed 2nd with 57 points, while Butte High was 3rd with 64. Belgrade girls placed 2nd with 57, led by Kira Geis, who recorded a time of 21 minutes, 46.66 seconds. The sophomore was 14th overall. Bozeman High won, of course, both of the men's and the women's in that meet. Moving on to Manhattan. After taking a 3-touchdown lead in the first quarter, things got a little dicey for Manhattan Friday night. The number 7-ranked Townsend battled back to get within a touchdown early in the second half, but didn't last long as number 4 Tigers, who scored twice in the fourth quarter, en route to a 31-14 Southern B win. Manhattan now 7-0 and 5-0 in Southern B, denied the Bulldogs an opportunity to secure a conference title and then claim itself next week when they visit Boulder, or when they play Boulder against Jefferson. Lane Vanderkamp, who returned to action after sitting out last week with knee injury, completed 11 of 17 passes for 179 yards and 3 scores. So again, they will play in Boulder against Jefferson High this coming up Friday, to try to claim the conference championship there. In cross country, as they've done for most of the season, Manhattan Christian boys dominated Saturday in regular season finale. The Eagles boasted 4 runners in the top 7 en route to winning the Rusty Raisland Invitational in Townsend. Christian finished 24 points in a 5-team meet, while Manhattan was 2nd with 34. The invitation served as the final tune-up for local Harriers before competing in the all-class state meet October 26th in Great Falls. Finally, on to Three Forks. Miles Horoff threw for 4 touchdown passes Friday night as Whitehall defeated Three Forks 29-6 in a Class B conference game. Flint Smith and Brendan Wagner had touchdown receptions of 10 and 46 yards, respectively, in the first quarter for the Trojans. Whitehall, now 3-5 and 1-1 in Southern B, took a 20-0 lead at halftime. Another touchdown reception by Wagner. The Wolves now 0-7 and 0-6. I believe that should be 3-5 and 4-1, or 2-1 in the conference, but anyways. The Wolves now 0-7, 0-6 in Southern B, scored their lone touchdown on a 7-yard run by Trenton Nimick in the third quarter. This week, Three Forks wraps up its regular season Friday night with a non-conference game at Florence. Kickoff is set for 7 o'clock. We'll take another quick break and come back with a look at Bobcat Sports from the past week. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534. I'd like to remind everyone to tune in to the final game of the season. Once again, the Bozeman High football team here on KGVM this Friday night as the Hawks host Billings West Bears. Kickoff scheduled for 7 o'clock with our broadcast starting at 6:45. Bozeman Hawks football is brought to you by Ridge Athletic Club, Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, and the Liquor Spot. Once again, this is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Land in Miami, the air was hot from summer rain, sweat dripping off me before I even knew her name.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. My name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534. KGVM.org on the Twitters, or on the internet, excuse me, and the tweeters at IanLaird3/KGVM Sports. Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill with countless TVs and specials. Catch all the big games, including the World Series, college football, and of course, my Detroit Lions and PGA Golf with Nick Taylor. Located at 19 Ty Lane up by the MSU campus. Phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgating continues. Moving on to Bobcat Sports from the past week. Again, the football team was off, but we'll dissect everything that they are doing here in the next break. We'll start with volleyball. Montana State senior, easier for me to say, Evie Wilson matched a season high with 19 kills and came up big in the fourth set with 7 kills at a 0.538 attack mark to lift the Bobcats to a 23-25, 26-24, 25-21, 25-14. That's 3-1 victory over Idaho State Saturday night at Schroyer Gym. Montana State volleyball team will begin a most arduous part of the Big Sky Conference schedule when it plays 4 matches in 8 days beginning at Portland State. That game is tonight at 8 o'clock. In the Vikings Pavilion following that match at Portland State. The Bobcats will host Sacramento State on Saturday, so that's a quick turnaround to come home. October 26th, again, that's Saturday at 7 o'clock. That is in Schroyer Gym. The contest will be MSU's annual pink match in support of the fight against breast cancer. All fans wearing pink will be admitted for only a $3 ticket. The Bobcats will close out the 3-match homestand when it hosts Montana, the Evil Grizz, on Tuesday for Cat Grizz. That is October 19th. And then Northern Colorado Thursday, October 31st. So a lot of volleyball here in the Valley. Make sure you go check them out. The volleyball team is doing very, very well. One of the better seasons they've had in a while. They've dropped some where I think they should have thought they'd win them. Won some that I don't know if they thought they would. Portland State's going to be a very, very tough match. They've only beat them twice in the last 22 times. So that one over in Portland will be a tough one. But make sure you get out there and support them for Cat Grizz. Let's crush the Grizz one more time. They beat them over there like a drum, 3-0. Hopefully we'll do that here as well. Alyssa Rizzo now has 1,853 digs on her career, more than 100 more than second place Candace Kelly. Camber Kelly, I think, is in fourth or fifth, so the sisters did very, very well while they were here. But Rizzo just moving up. She got her 1,000th dig earlier this year, broke the record earlier this year, and now has already 1,853 digs. So congratulations to Alyssa Rizzo and the volleyball team, who has really, really stepped it up in her senior year. Moving on across country, Montana State's Colin Buck and Camila Noah were the Bobcats' top finishers at the Under Armour Pre-National Invitational on Saturday, last Saturday, at Indiana State's Laverne Gibson Cross Country Course. Buck helped lead the Bobcat men to a 16th place team finish with 497 points. MSU placed 4 points behind Nebraska, but top North Carolina, sorry, Vonda, and your Tar Heels, by 5 points in the standings. BYU finished with 81 and Colorado 83 to finish atop the team race. Noah was the Bobcats women's squad's top finisher. She placed 24th with a time of 20 minutes, 41.2 seconds in the 6K blue race. The MSU freshman ran with the lead pack throughout the duration of the race before it broke up after the 4K split. BYU's Erica Burke won the Invitational with a score or with a mark of 20 minutes, 2.6 seconds. The next meet, of course, will be the Big Sky Conference Championships coming up November 2nd. That will be in Greeley, Colorado. Moving on to basketball now, we can finally start talking about basketball. The Night at the Brick was last Friday night. It was an amazing event. It was the first time fans got a chance to see the new-look Danny Sprinkle Bobcat men's team. A lot less yelling, I can tell you that for sure. Men's scrimmage was considered sloppy by many, but could see some athleticism upgrades. And some of the bigs, we have like four bigs now. I haven't seen this many bigs since back in the days when we were really, really good. The bigs aren't huge. We have 1'6'11" in Kirby, my, man crush. One of the two man crushes that I have. Devin Kirby down low. He's going to be a force, still skinny, but packed on some muscle, at least in, if not some weight. Bello down low is going to be a stud. Got some great shooters outside with Ricketts coming back. And of course, all Big Sky first team player. Excuse me, I'm going to choke there. So it should be a very, very good year as everything kind of comes together. Hopefully they can make a big run towards the end of the year. I don't really think that they're going to be that great to start the year. They're going to have to learn each other. They're a very, very young team. Talking to Danny Sprinkle, we're hoping to have him on in the next week or so onto the show. But he says they're young but athletic. They've got a lot to learn. They're going to have their headaches and everything else. They were picked to finish 7th in the Big Sky next year. Eastern Washington was number 1, followed by Montana, then Weber State, Southern Utah, Northern Colorado, Portland State, and then Montana at 7th. Moving on to women's basketball. Harold Frey was first team All-Big Sky for the men as well. He should have a huge, huge year. Hopefully he goes away from his senior year. He's had an amazing career at MSU with a good showing, and hopefully they can do something and make some noise when they get to Boise for the playoffs. Moving on to women's basketball, they are on the exact opposite side of this whole thing. The Ladies Cats were picked to finish 1st this year. They are picked 1. Behind them is Idaho at 2, Portland State, then Idaho State, Northern Colorado, Eastern Washington, Montana down at 7th, then Northern Arizona, Sacramento State, Southern Utah, and Weber. Cats had 7 first place votes, the most of anybody. Northern Colorado, who actually finished 5th, had 4 first place votes. But the first place split up all over the place, but Montana State with the most. On top of that, MSU welcomes back 5 seniors, including preseason Big Sky MVP pick and preseason all-conference selection Oleana Squires. I never get her name right. Rounding out the senior class is Blaine Braxton and Madeline Smith, who have split time at starters the past 3 seasons, and Martha Cooterer, who has started 27 games last season after sitting out the 2017-18 campaign after transferring from Seton Hall. So the ladies are stacked when it comes to their sports. So good luck to the ladies and the boys. Like I said, I think that the Cat men are going to have a difficult time at first. They've got some athleticism, but they're young. If they can get their outside shooters to hit some shots, they lost, of course, Tyler Hall and some other big names. Keljan Blevins was just playing in the preseason for the Blazers, so that's how good he was. Haven't heard if Tyler Hall is going to go overseas or not. He was in Chicago and played for the Bulls a little bit in the preseason as well. So that'll be an interesting turn. I know from talking to people that have seen some of the practices and everything else, Danny Sprinkle isn't the yeller that Fish was, but he expects things to go right. Like he said before the season started, is I'm not going to pull you unless you look over and say, hey, was that okay? And then I'm going to yank you. Do your thing. If you do a bad shot, just get back on defense. He pushes defense big time and very physical defense. So we'll have to see how that plays out. We haven't had a real physical team in a long time. A lot of outside shooters, but not a lot of inside help. This year we're loaded with inside help, even though a lot of them are freshmen or sophomores. So that's going to be a deterrent for the women. They just keep on keeping on. They're a great team. Oleana Squires, I said her name right that time, is a stud at the point. Friage, who came over from University of North Dakota, is a stud. She is the Big Sky MVP pick, even though she hasn't even played a game for the Cats. In the Night at the Brick, she was unstoppable down low and from outside. I think they said she hit 19 three-pointers in one of those three-point contest things. It wasn't during the scrimmage, but she can shoot it from outside, and she's almost unstoppable inside, so I don't see the Cats, the Lady Cats, missing a step. Hopefully they can stay healthy. That's really what plagued them last year, is they had some key injuries to players that were going to be studs, and then they just couldn't fill in that scoring, and that's why they didn't advance as far as they were hoping to. So hopefully they can get back to the winning ways there. We'll take another quick break right now. Take a look at the Bobcats' trip to North Dakota to face the Fighting Hawks. Again, you can reach us at 406-624-6536, or 6534, excuse me, kgvm.org, or on your interwebs, or IanLaird3 on the Twitters. Once again, this is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be bad at sports, but he loves talking about them. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM. But I gotta get mine for free, my mo, and let me hear you holler.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. My name is Ian Laird. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org, or on the Twitter at IanLaird3. Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill with countless TVs and specials. Catch all the big games, including the World Series, college football, and, of course, the Detroit Lions. Located at 19 Ty Lane up by the MSU campus, phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgating continues. By the way, Tucker Rovick, if you're listening, which I'm sure you're not, this song is Bone Thugs, since you said you'd never heard of them before. One of the greatest rap bands ever, so check them out. I don't know if it's rap bands or just rap groups. Rap, I don't know how it goes. It's not really a band. Anyways, we'll dive into Bobcat football. Cats had last week off, and it was needed after falling to Sacramento State Hornets 34-21. There were a lot of people who jumped off the Cats or onto the Cats suck bandwagon after the loss. Then the Hornets destroyed the Grizzlies the next week, and everyone came back to reality that, hey, maybe this team isn't actually that bad, and maybe it's just the Sacramento State is pretty damn good. Cats are still ranked number 9 in the country, and if they win out, we'll have a top probably 6th seed, I'm guessing, going into the playoffs. That will give them a first round bye and at least one home game, with 2 if they keep winning, probably. I don't think you can get 3. I think by then you're into the semifinals and probably have to travel, but at least 2 games if they keep winning into the playoffs. The sky is not falling, people. The Cats are fine. They're where they need to be at this time. Any other year, if you would have said the Cats are coming into the last of the season 5-2, I would have been ecstatic. We haven't dropped any games we shouldn't have lost. We should have lost to Texas Tech, and Sacramento State turns out to be that good of a team. We've beat all the teams we should have beaten. Sure, some of them were a little closer than we'd like, but that happens as well, but we won them. Now let's focus on the next games and coming up. But don't keep jumping around saying, oh, I have no faith in Choate. Oh, I don't think Rovick can get it done. Rovick's playing just fine. And other than some calls that are questionable about being a little more consistent and or a little more imaginative instead of the same plays every time, which we'll get into here in a little bit, I think the Cats have done a really, really good job on both sides, especially because the amount of injuries that they've had at the running back and everything else. It's really hard to get any kind of rhythm when you're swapping in running backs all the time because they're getting hurt. It happens. People are going to get dinged up and everything, but let's not jump off the bridge just because they lost one game 2 weeks ago. They'll figure it out. I have faith in this coaching staff, and I have faith in all of the players. I think Rovig is going to be a stud. He just needs some time. So we'll get to that here in a little bit. But let's take a quick look right now at the University of North Dakota Fighting Hawks. First off, North Dakota is 3-0 at home and 0-3 on the road. So there you go. With wins against nationally ranked Sam Houston State, 27-23. They beat UC Davis, 38-36. All these close, though. And the Fighting Hawks gain nearly 100 yards per game more than they allow at home. They averaged 395.3 yards per game to 295.7, with 8 takeaways and only 3 turnovers. So they are very good at home. They pride themselves on playing over in North Dakota, which is a tough place to travel and play at. Linebacker Darnell Rogers has 74 total tackles, 5.5 behind the line of scrimmage, leading a defense that allows opponents around 10 offensive plays per game less than the Fighting Hawks run. So they're very run, a lot of plays. They don't have big, huge plays, but they just march it down the field, kind of like Cal Poly, but not in a triple option. But they burn that clock and they eat it up. North Dakota's 8 takeaways in 2019 have all come at home. So all of these stats show how good they are at home. Quarterback Nate Ketteringham. That was hard for me to say all of a sudden, even though I knew how to say it. You might recognize his name. He actually transferred from Sacramento State when their quarterback Thomas transferred in. Throws for about 247.2 yards a game, completing 62% of his passes. He also is a threat to run. Cats played him a couple years ago. He can eat you up. He's a tough quarterback, and he can run, and he can definitely sling it. The running back tandem of James Johansson rushes for 79 rushes for 368 yards and 6 touchdowns on the year. And Dalton Gee has 40 carries for 197 yards and 1 touchdown, account for 119 of the team's 216 rushing yards and 565 of UND's 870 yards on the ground. So they're a balanced team. I think they're going to run it more than they are going to throw it. But Ketteringham can definitely sling the ball. We've seen that in the past. He's a senior this year. I think the Cats played him as a freshman and a sophomore. He played both years, then transferred out, had a sit out a year, and now he's a senior. Should be a really good matchup down there. One that the Cats cannot overlook and one that the Cats have really struggled. It's hard to win on the road. The Cats proved that by barely beating Cal Poly down there. Triple option's always tough, like we talked about. But UND seems to be playing their best at home, and that's where they're going to be. So it's going to be a very, very tough test for the Cats. So, like we did for the Hawks, and we do every year, what do the Cats have to do to win this game then? Number one, I think, is protect Rovick. A lot of people are ripping him for his mistakes, but you really see a correlation between his mistakes and how the offensive line has played. His mistakes have come when they give him no time at all and he's trying to force something. He's trying to do more than he should. Instead of just dumping it down or throwing it away, he tries to do more to get the team farther down. If the O-line can protect him and he can stay on his feet and be able to read that defense, he's got tons of weapons. He mentioned it last week. He's got all the weapons in the world on the outside and behind him. If he can get some time and get some patience, we should be in very, very good shape there. Give him enough time to figure it out, and I think he's going to light it up. Number two, first and second down yardage is key. Cats have been really struggling. They're the worst team in the league on gaining yards first and second down. And getting those first and second downs leads to, or not getting them, any yards on those leads to a lot of third and longs, third and eight, third and nines, where you know you're going to pass it. The team knows you're going to pass it, and so they just blitz you. If the Cats can get more production, even 2 or 3 yards on first and second down, it will open up the playbook and give the offense more rhythm and flow. If they can't do that, I think it's going to be a really, really very long game, but that's going to be a key for them. Can they get even 2 yards on first and 2 yards on second? Put it at third and five. Third and four, something like that, something more manageable than you're always at third and nine, third and eight, or third and 12, third and 15, third and very longs where you get a penalty on second down and then you don't get anything on second and 15 or second and 20. So those are where it's going to be shorter third down plays where you can open it up. Get more yards on first down so you can throw it a little more on second down, knowing that you only have 3 yards to go on third and you're easily going to be able to pick that up. That's going to be key to this game, and especially on the road, to eat up that clock and get those first downs, not give North Dakota more possessions, because like we said, they average 10 possessions more than the other team does while they're playing at home. Number three, secondary stepping up and getting takeaways. Defensive secondary didn't do a terrible job, I don't think, against Sacramento State. There were some blunders and some misassignments, but they didn't do awful. But they need to take the ball away more than they have been so far this year. We need to get the Cats the ball back more from that defensive secondary. I think linebackers are starting to find their way. Callahan O'Reilly was a stud against Sacramento State. So that's going to be key to see if those linebackers can keep that play up and let that secondary just do their thing instead of having to protect linebackers or short running backs out of the back and everything else. So if the secondary can get some takeaways, though, we finally have Munchie Filer back. He played against Sacramento State for his first time of the season. So we have him back. If we can get some of those players back, it should be a very, very good contest and get them ball hawking like they did last year. Last year, they were superb at that. This year, they've kind of struggled. Number four, stick with Rovig. Let him get comfortable with the lead and the offense. A lot of times when you saw in Sacramento State, he'd have 2 or 3 very good passes, and then all of a sudden they would revert back to throwing him into the outside. He'd have 2, 3. It's like, oh, okay, there he goes. And then boom, 5 plays in a row, he's at wide receiver, and we're just running Johnson up the middle or Anderson up the middle. That can't happen. And I know I'm exaggerating, but not by much. But leave him in there. Let him throw the ball. Let him hand off the ball. I know you want to get all your players, the ball. and all your playmakers need to touch the ball. But at times, Rovig is the main playmaker. He should touch the ball 90% of the time, 95% of the time when he's back there. So give him a chance to develop that rhythm, develop the continuity with the offensive line and with the wide receivers of where they're going to be, when they're going to be there. If not, then it does look like, oh man, he way overthrew him. Well, yeah, he hasn't thrown a pass in 5 minutes, and it's been eight plays since he did. So that's going to be key. And I think the last thing, mix it up. We were talking about how Johnson runs it, Anderson runs it. They're both amazing athletes. Johnson's one of the best athletes we've seen in a long time, and so is Anderson. But so far this year, when they're in the backfield, they're not going to hand it off, and they're not going to throw it. They're going to run with it. And so they need to switch that up and mix it up a little bit so it's not so consistently always they know that we're going to run it, or they know we're going to pass, or they know we're going to run it every time they're back there. Throw in a double screen. Throw in a pass from Johnson. He was a quarterback in high school and at Oregon. Have Anderson pitch it to a guy coming around the other side. They're all focusing on those players. Mix it up a little bit and see what you can do. So going into that, as we wrap up the show, let's look at the picks for this week. My heart says the Cats come out fresh and ready. Rovig lights it up and we win 38-21. My head says a little something different. It says UND is scary good at home. Cats win it with a field goal possession. Or in the last possession, 28-27. I think it'll be a very, very close game, much closer than a lot of people think. Hopefully I'm wrong and they just blow them out, but we'll see. That'll do it for this week in the Gallatin Valley Sports Show. Once again, a reminder that the Bozeman Hawks play tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. 6:45 is when kickoff, or when our broadcasts start. Make sure you go check that out. And as always, go Cats. Thanks for listening and have a good weekend.